I'm going to talk a little bit about Oak today. I've been out in Maine. I escaped New York City before the business lockdown happened. And I've been spending a lot of time looking at the wood floors in my parents' house, which are oak. I just got laid off of a job where I was working with a lot of wood. And we worked mostly with ash and walnut. But oak is another major wood that a lot of people use. It's very humble, very modest, not very dramatic. It's inexpensive. It is very hard. It's what they used to make ships out of, so it's resistant to a lot of rot. But when it's cut up into all these pieces that, you know, you'd make flooring out of, it can create a lot of really interesting patterns. And those patterns are then sort of...
This is tongue and cheek.
Not amplified, but expanded upon by signs of use.
Exercises for warming up our ways of communicating.
That innate to the wood that happen during its life as a tree grows. But then there are all sorts of patterns in woodworking, like a second half of the patterns that are caused once the wood is harvested and cut and put to use in either a wood shop or a product like wood floors. So I've been looking at my favorite pieces, and there's all this vaulting in some pieces, which is where the grain isn't straight, you know, where there was a tree crotch or a sudden change in the shape of the trunk, and then when you cut through it, it creates all these very wavy lines and patterns. That's called vaulting, or I forget what the other term is. I think crotch is another one, which is great. And then over here where I'm standing, there is a lot of curling in the wood, and that's exactly what it sounds like. It's also called fiddlebacks. Curling is where the grain, for some reason, sort of moves like little Shirley Temple curls. And these very tight little S-bends. And when you cut through it, it forms this beautiful ripply pattern.
What is an exercise? To me, an exercise has three properties. An exercise is, first, prep work, working towards something beyond itself. Second, an exercise is embedded in the world, rather than mirroring it in an isolated time or space, like a pitch, a board, game, board, frame, or a stage. And three, it hosts fiction as an accompaniment or example, rather than narrating or embodying a story. So for this exercise, in a room that you're in, find some corner that, or closest to a corner that you can get to, even if there's something in the way, chair, other things, just find the closest you can, and put your back to the corner, and then close your eyes, and lift your finger up of, let's say, your left hand. And with your eyes closed, just sort of wave your hand around and stop it there. Put your finger out pointed. Open your eyes. See what you're pointing at. Look at that thing or that corner or that part of the wall. Take some time to meditate on it and look at it. Try to identify its limits in some way or another. Once you've sort of identified that thing as a thing, close your eyes again. When you open them, as this goes on, now you can open them and dance with that thing.
Thank you.
Okay, now let's, instead of finding a corner, let's find a window. Come to the window. Hopefully you have a window. If you don't have a window, use a mirror. Come to the window. And let's do something similar. We're going to close our eyes. With your eyes closed, point your finger out. Try to step back from the window if you are close enough that your hand is not touching it if you stick your hand out. And stick your hand out and point out with your eyes closed. Let your hand swirl a little bit, sort of over what you think is the field of glass. Okay. And now, in a second, when you open your eyes, so don't open them yet, when you open your eyes, you'll stop your finger from swirling. And I want you to focus actually on a piece of dust or a piece of grit or just a mark on the glass where you're pointing. So, with your eyes open, you should feel a little bit cross-eyed if you can see far out from your window. Because you're just trying to look at the glass. You're not looking out of the window, you're looking at the window. You're looking for some piece of dust to focus on. Now close your eyes once you've found that spot. Something you feel like you can find again when you open your eyes again. Close your eyes. And when you open your eyes, I'm gonna play this. And when you open your eyes, dance with it.
Hi, honey, it's me. I went to see the doctor today. 'Cause ever since you've been gone, I had a pain deep down inside. He says there's nothing really wrong with me. I'm just missing my man. So, honey, please.
And it has this property called chatoyance, which is where if you view it from different angles, it shimmers and glistens like little threads of gold in the light. But you have to have very direct light, and you have to be there in person to see it. It can't be captured in photographs because it's a stereoscopic effect. It's where one eye sees a certain reflection from its angle, and then your other eye sees a different reflection from its own angle, and it creates this shimmery effect when those images are merged in your head. So that's a very prized property of wood, and I don't think it happens a lot in oak, because It just doesn't. The grain is very regular. It happens in woods with lots of irregular grains, but it does happen sometimes. That's one of my favorite pieces that I've been looking at. Let's see. Another interesting characteristic of oak is it has lines that move perpendicular to the growth line. So wood, of course, has grows with rings in the tree trunk, and those rings form concentric circles. And the little lines I'm talking about in oak are, they cut at 90 degrees across from across the growth rings, so that if you were to cut through a tree, you'd see your growth rings, and then you'd see what looks like a million little lines radiating out from the center of the tree trunk all the way out to the bark. And those are meant to carry nutrients between growth rings, between the heartwood and the sapwood. The heartwood is the absolute dead center of the tree, and it is actually dead. There's no life in that wood. And then the sapwood is at the very edge, just under the bark, and that's the actual living part of the tree. So when you cut across oak, you get a lot of really interesting patterns that almost look crackly. And I'm looking at a piece right now, and it has the growth rings crossed by those little lines, and it's really beautiful.
So a sort of step in between where you think we might be going and where we are. Close your eyes again, staying still in front of this window, or mirror, if it's a mirror. I think this should work for a mirror as well. Close your eyes. Point your hand out again, your finger swirling around. And as your finger swirls around, keep your eyes closed. Just let your hand wander. See, you sort of forget what you see or what you saw on the glass or what you remember or think you see through the window. And instead of picking a smudge or something that was on that piece of glass, I want you to try to think of, see if you can identify a smudge or something that is distinctly on the outside of the pane of glass. Not outside, as in through the window, but outside, as in just on the other side of the pane of glass that you can focus on. So let your eyes open slowly. Find where your finger is. Try to drift towards something with your finger that you can identify. Might help to close one eye or the other to see where you're pointing. Find something that really feels like it's on the outside of the pane of glass. Just outside. Maybe it helps to shift your weight a little bit in case some things on the pane of glass are lost. In not being in contrast with what's behind or outside. So you're looking for something just on the outside. Maybe it's some dust. Maybe it's some, mark from where it's easier or harder to clean the window from the outside. Maybe it's like a little grease mark from trying to open and close a window, like a finger mark. Maybe it's a little, spatter of paint from something outside, or pigeon stuff. Maybe it's just some dust on the edge of the window that comes from rain. Maybe it's actually some dirt mark from a raindrop or a set of drops that have run down your window a couple days ago. Find that thing. I know I must do many things. And when you found it, keep your finger on it, close your eyes, take your hand down. When you open your eyes, you're going to re-find that one spot. Open your eyes and dance with it. Okay, and now again for something a little bit the same, but changing our perspective in the same place. So close our eyes again. Wave our finger forward on our hand, waving our arms so our finger is finding a place with our eyes closed. Then open your eyes, settle your finger somewhere. Now you're looking out the window. You're not looking at the window. You're looking out the window. Where close one eye. If you're using your right arm to point, close your left eye. If you're using your left arm to point, close your right eye. So my right hand and my right eye are pointed towards something, and I know exactly what I'm pointed at. It's the upper left corner of somebody else's window. So I'm going to close my eyes again. I'm going to put my hand down. And when I open my eyes, with this plane, I'll dance. Open your eyes.
Después de un concierto, tú reinabas detrás de la barra del único bar que vimos abierto.
Cántame una canción al oído y te pongo un cubata.
Con una condición, que me dejes abierto el balcón de tus ojos de gata.
Loco por conocer los secretos de mi dormitorio.
Esa noche canté al piano del amanecer todo mi repertorio.
Los clientes del bar, uno a uno, se fueron marchando.
Tú saliste a cerrar, yo me dije, cuidado chaval, te estás enamorando.
Luego todo pasó, de repente, mi dedo en tu espalda dibujó un corazón.
Y mi mano le correspondió debajo de tu falda.
Caminito al hostal, nos besamos en cada parada.
Era un pueblo con bar, yo quería dormir contigo y tú no querías dormir sola.
Y nos dieron las 10 y las 11. Las 12 y la 1 y las 2 y las 3. Y desnudos al anochecer nos encontró la luna.
All right, last one in front of the window. Lift your hand up again. We're still looking out, not at the glass, not behind the glass, not on the other side of the glass, but through the glass. We are turning our hand around, swirling again, trying to look at all the confines of what's in this frame. All the different things, all the different depths of field. Can you see New Jersey? Maybe not. Can you see uptown, downtown? Can you see, where can you see? Can you see any other place? Can you see just across the street? Can you see further than 5 feet? Can you only see 5 feet? Can you see 5 feet in one place, 15 feet in another, and maybe a mile in one small sliver? How much real estate of the horizon line do you have? How much real estate of 1 mile radius circumference do you have? What do you have actually in the property of your window? Try to find something at the very deepest point, something that you can consider your own horizon line. And now, instead of pointing your finger, once you have your place that you might consider your own personal horizon line that might be very close by. Put your hand out. And instead of pointing, flatten your hand. Now, with your opposite eye open, so I have my right arm out, my palm flat, my hand completely horizontal, and I have my left eye open, looking out at a point that I consider, not a point, but a line, a bit of a line, that I consider my own personal horizon line. And I'm going to put my palm just in line with it. So my left eye, my palm, and the little bit of the line are in sync with each other. And I'm resting my palm on the horizon line, on that little bit of the horizon line. And I just want to find a little comfortable stance with my feet. And I'm going to use my palm just to first lift myself up a bit, using the horizon line as a little shelf and support. So on my toes. But I'm not lifting my heels off using my calves. I'm pulling myself off the ground with the strength of my arm and my palm, pushing down on the little bit of personal horizon line that I have in the real estate of my window's view. And up.
So I was just talking about heartwood and sapwood. Another really interesting feature in this wood is some parts are really dark and then really light, and that is because when you get a whole bunch of lumber, like these floors, some pieces are heartwood and others are sapwood, and sometimes they're both. And those can create really dramatic differences in the lightness and the darkness of the wood. So I'm looking at a piece right now that is dark and light. Honestly, most people don't like that when they're looking at wood. Like when you buy a walnut, everyone wants heartwood. No one wants sapwood. Everyone wants heartwood in walnut. Nobody wants sapwood. The difference is heartwood's that beautiful, luxurious brown, and then the sapwood is sort of a boring, normal, light tan color. Another feature that I can see is called spalting, which is sometimes considered a defect in the wood, but it's where fungus or some sort of attack from like another life form growing on the tree happened, and it leaves a marring in the wood. And I think it's often considered sort of undesirable, but it can create a really interesting pattern. I don't see any in my parents' floors. So another thing that happens, another set of characteristics in the actual pattern of the wood happens after you cut. And you can kind of see it if you look closely at cut wood. I don't know if wherever you're listening, you have wood floors. But when you cut across the grain in wood, it actually begins to absorb or lose its water at an accelerated rate. So all the grain in wood is like kind of like straws, like tons of tiny little straws. And they might be very empty and devoid of water or have a lot of water in them. And when you cut across the grain, they can lose water or they can start to absorb it. And that can cause a very dramatic change in the shape of the wood or the size. It can cause it to swell or to lose moisture and contract. So if you look closely at the ends of boards of wood in floors, you can see that a lot of them have little splits in it, and that's called checking.
Okay, now let's try to do some, we'll go to do in a different place, some conversations, some small conversations. Let's think of them as small conversations within the mouth, conversations between different parts, different extremes of the cavity of your mouth, pushing something back and forth like a small game of tennis within one's throat, within one's mouth, within the cage between the front of your teeth and the very far back of where we can think we can feel in the back of our throat. Okay, from window to mirror, unless you are already at a mirror, let's find a mirror, something reflective enough to feel like a mirror. And I guess if you're somewhere that it's nighttime, you could stay with your window, because it might be a little bit more reflective. But really try to find a mirror. And so the next set, as you can hear, I'm in a completely different space. For the next set, in front of the mirror, these are a little bit more sort of conversations alone. And something that's a little bit more vocalized. I want to call these soap swings. Soaps as in like having a bar of soap. Having a bar of soap stuck in our mouth, literally. Something that's sort of sliding back and forth. If that's really grotesque, you can think of like a big, huge Jolly Rancher, I guess. But that might be a little bit too hard and clanking on your teeth. You'll see what I mean. If your mouth has ever been cleaned out by soap, then think of the Jolly Rancher. Don't think about the soap bar. but something that is sliding around, maybe a huge ice cube that doesn't get super cold. And let's start off with this. Two sounds, ka and t. Ka, t. Ka, t, t, t. So ka, ka, like ka, 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 ka. What is happening in the back of your mouth when you do ka, 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 ka? You might feel, actually, the back of your tongue, almost, it might feel like, the back of your tongue pressing up, ka, 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 just at the beginning of that sound, ka, 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 ka. Just gonna move that sound around so you can see how you can feel those two parts of your, those two parts of the back of your mouth touching. Ka, ka, ka. Can you make it stay there for longer, pressing against each other longer than it normally does? If I say ka, 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 like can't, 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 that's even a little bit more forward, ka, ka. But what if I got ka, ka? If I sort of delay it, I can keep it there, ka, 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 ka. So in that little delay, and hopefully you can hear it, ka, ka, ka. It's like more of a burst of air because I'm actually pressing those two parts together first. Ka, 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 ka. So, and then the second sound that we're working with is t. T, 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 t. Slow it down also. T, t. Just pause it as if you're about to say the t and you don't end up saying it. Where is your tongue? Where are your teeth? Where is the tip of your tongue? Maybe even just touching the ridge of your lower teeth. Where is the middle of your tongue? Maybe it's somewhere up towards the front of the roof of your mouth. T, 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 ta. Freeze it right before it. Ta. And let it out. Ta. So notice where it is. So essentially these are two sounds that are one, ka, ka, sort of closing. Let's not, instead of thinking of it closing off, think about your tongue sort of swinging back and forth, right? On the ka, your tongue is pushing back on the back of your throat. And on the ta, 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 the sort of front and middle of your tongue, ta, 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 is more interacting with the front of your mouth, and maybe even we could say the roof of your mouth. Ta, 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 ta. So between these two, ka, ta, and you can really just think of cotton, ka, ta, ka, ta. Ka ta, ka ta, ka ta. Between those two sounds, I want you to think of there being a soap bar, small soap bar, like a used soap bar, that's right in the middle of your tongue, right in the middle of your throat, and you're going to play a sort of game of, sorry, not of your throat, but in the middle of your mouth, floating on the midst of your tongue, and you're going to play almost like a little game of sort of ping pong in your mouth, or a sort of tennis in some ways in your mouth, where you're just sort of closing off or pushing the soap from one end to the other. So imagine like there's almost like a tube or some sort of cavity, which is your mouth, and you're closing off the direction of the soap, and you know, it's shooting back to the back of your throat. Then you're closing it off at the back of your throat with the ka, and then it's going to the forward, and on the ta, it gets shot to the back, and then the ka, and then towards the front, right? So let's try. Ready? Ka, ta, ka, ta, ka, ta, ka, ta, ka. How can you slow it down? Ka, ta, ka, ta. Keep it going. Ka, ta. Ka, ta, ka, ta, ka, ta, ka, ta, ka, ta. Are there moments of ka, ta? Are there ways of ka, ta, ka, ta? Are there ways that ka, ta, ka, ta? Are there ways that, as you're doing this, continue ka, ta, ka, ta? That while you're doing this, are there ways of slowing it down or giving it a lot of acceleration all of a sudden? Ka, tung. The ways of ka, tung. Calming it. Ka, tung. Ka, tung. Can you make ka, tung? Contact ka, tung. With the soap bar. Ka, tung. Ka, tung. Ka, tung. Ka. All along, the passage, instead of on both ends, carrying around. What if the soap bar grows? Kong chung, kong chung, kong. What if it shrinks? Kong ten, kong chung, 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 kong chung. Ka tung, 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 ka tung. Even smaller. Ka tung, ka tung, ka tung, ka tung, ka tung. So you can only make contact with it, shooting it right quick across. Ka tung, ka tung, ka tung. From the ka back of your throat. Ka tung, ka tung, ka tung. to the front. Canton, 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 canton.
My dad can sometimes move very quickly and drop things or stub his toe. And one of the things that happened many months ago when my parents had freshly bought this house was he dropped a container of cooking oil on the floor. And of course, when you seal wood with polyurethane, you know, no matter how well it's coated or no matter how well the wood is sanded, the oil, it seeps in. Nothing can keep wood completely sealed. So all this cooking oil seeped in to the cracks on my parents' floor. And there's a little section in front of the refrigerator where that happened, where you can see that the end grain, which is the very end of the wood where, you know, little openings of the straw-like grain are exposed, those sucked up the oil. So the ends of the wood sort of have like this wick-like effect where they pulled all the cooking oil that was spilled into them, and they're permanently stained. It's sort of like an interesting, unique feature in my parents' floors. And yeah, my mom doesn't like it, and she's trying to figure out a way to get rid of it.
All right, second soap swing, let's call it. So another swinging between the back and the front. So the back of our throat and the front of our lips. And imagining still, we might do the same where we minimize the soap, maybe as we're sliding back and forth like a Jolly Rancher or like a bar of soap. The more that it slides back and forth, maybe it's actually going to start to accelerate or get smaller, and in that way in some ways accelerate. So we're kind of washing out our mouth, and the soap bar is getting smaller and smaller, and as the soap bar gets smaller and smaller, it's probably going to speed up going back and forth. But instead of cotton or ka-tun, let's widen it a little bit and go from ga, 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 ga. So switch between ka and ga, and you notice maybe it's a little bit further down. Ga, ga, ka, 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 ka. So the same way that we tried to identify ka, ka, as where the two parts of our very back of our tongue is sort of pushing up against ka, 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 pushing up against the back of our throat in some sort of way of feeling ka, 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 ka. It's more sort of like the back upper part of our ka, upper palate or back of our throat, the ga, 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 ga. If you even look in the mirror while you do that, ga, ga. I did say that we're in front of a mirror. Ga, 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 ga. With the ga, ga, it should feel a little bit lower back, lower down. Ga, 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 ga. So ka, ga, ka, ka is sort of harsh on our throat. Ga should not be a ga. Ga, 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 but just a gentle ga, 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 ga. Try to look for what the feeling is when you're making contact. Ga, ga, what's making contact? Ga. It's sort of strange that the deeper that we get down our throat, the harder it is to feel the proprioceptive contact, but it's there. If you just take a moment, you can feel it. Ga, 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 ga. Why are we so prone to think about the sensing on the tip of our tongue and so hard for us to think about it when it gets further down? Ga, all we can think of is fish bones. Ga, 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 ga. What's making touch? Ga, ga. Okay, so that's the back. That's going to be the back trap, or the place that's, you know, pushing, closing itself to push the piece of soap back up our throat. So what's happening in the front? Lu, 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 lo, 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 lu, 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 lo. If we do difference between lo, 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 that's a little bit further on the. That's sort of like midway in our upper palate, that the tip of our tongue is making touch. Lo, 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 right? Making almost like a little ramp up to the top of our mouth. But instead of going lo, lo, let's do lu, lu, which should be a little bit further forward. Lu, 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 just on that ridge behind that part of your gum behind your upper teeth. Lu, 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 lu. Ga, lu, ga, lu, ga, lu, ga, lu. Okay, now let's think about this piece of soap. Starting back, ga, lu, ga. Slow at the beginning, ga, lu, ga, lu, ga, lu, ga, lu, ga, lu. If it helps, ga, lu, ga. Lu, you can look into the mirror. Ga, lu, ga, lu, and maybe rock between your feet. Ga, lu, ga, lu, ga, lu, ga, lu, ga. Don't forget about the contact. If it's starting to feel more voiced, like ga, you could hear in mine, then you're not actually making the right kind of contact. Push that soap bar back up. Ga, 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 lu, 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 mid-sized soap bar. Ga, lu, ga, lu, ga, lu, ga, lu, ga, lu, might help to point track with your finger on the side of your throat where the soap bar is. Ga, lu, 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 ga, lu. Soap bar grind. Ga, lu, 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 ga, lu. Ga, lu, ga, lu, ga, lu, ga, lu, ga, lu, ga, lu, ga, lu. Don't forget to breathe. Ga, lu, ga, lu, ga, lu. Soap bar as big as your mouth. Ga, lu, 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 ga, lu. Go, lu, go, lu, go, lu. And getting smaller. Go, lu, 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 go. Lu, go, lu, go, lu, go, lu, go, lu, smaller, go, lu, 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 go, and switching, go, lu, 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 go, back to wide. Go, lu, 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 and narrow. Go, tung, 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 go, tung. Close your eyes if you have to. Go, tung, go, tung, go, tung, go, tung. It helps to feel the soap bar. Go, tung, go, tung, go, tum, and wider. Go, lu, 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 and mix it. Ka, lu, ka, lu, ka, lu, ka, lu, ka, lu. Other mix. Go, tu, go, tu, go, tu, go, tu, go, tu. Wider. Go, lu, go, lu, go, lu, go, lu, go, lu, go. And let it out of your mouth. Lu. From the mirror to window, any window, it can be any window, it doesn't have to be the same one that we had before, but just any window. And at the window, just I that's doing counts of five. I again. I starting in low volume and then raising up on five. I starting low. I once again. And back to the mirror. The same, looking at your nose. Starting low. Starting low. Starting low. Back to the window. Now a little different.
Hey, 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 hey.
That's five. Let's start low.
Hey, 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 hey.
Starting low.
Hey, 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 hey.
Now all high.
Hey, 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 hey.
Again, all high.
Hey, 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 hey.
And to the mirror. All high.
Hey, 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 hey.
And to the window. All high.
Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey!
At the mirror again. No, 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 no. And to the window. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. And back to the mirror. Make a little eye contact with yourself. And to the window, make eye contact with something. No, 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 and go back to the mirror.
One thing I'm looking at over by that oil stain in the floor is what's called burl, which is another interesting feature in wood, where, well, it happens when there's some sort of very traumatic damage or injury to the tree. It's where the layer of the live tree that is responsible for growing new wood goes into overdrive to repair an injury. It's like kind of like human scar tissue. It's just like a very easy to build emergency tissue that will help fill an injury and protect from further injury. And it has like almost like a look of a tumor or a cancer when you see it on a tree. It looks like a huge lumpy growth, and it's prized by a lot of furniture makers, especially in classical furniture making, like 18th century French furniture sometimes has that as a feature. And it looks wild. It doesn't look like straight grain. It looks like marble. It looks closer to a stone than to actual wood. And there's a piece of it right over by this oil stain. And when you cut through it, when you're cutting through wood, again, it looks like some sort of wild, like stone-like pattern. It almost looks like psychedelic special effects or something. I also chase my dogs a lot around the kitchen because it's just a game they like to play. It's to keep away from me. And so there are all these marks in these wood floors from my dogs scrabbling around and trying to corner really quickly.
Okay, let's round this up. So we're still in front of the mirror. Close one eye. Take your right or your left hand. And put your finger, if you can see in your mirror, your waist or the lowest part of your profile on your right side. Point at the mirror so that your fingertip is covering that spot up. And trace your profile, your full body's profile. Try to even trace your own arm and your own hand and back down the other side of your arm, up your shoulder, across your shoulder to your neck, over your ear, over your hair, down the other side of your head, always tracing with your fingertip, down your other ear, down the other side of your neck, over your collar, over your other shoulder, over your other arm, over your other elbow, down your forearm, maybe up the other side of the arm, to your chest, down the side of your chest, come down until you hit the other extreme and edge of the mirror. Keep that eye closed and remove your hand. Step away from that and leave that trace as it seems to be on the mirror. Now let's go back over to the window that we were standing at before. And in that window, find again that spot. That spot, that little line, that little bit of horizon. Your own personal horizon. Remember, that doesn't need to be the actual horizon line, but some little shelf that we can consider and had considered our horizon line. Close one eye again, if you opened it. And point your finger out. Press your finger on one side of that, one edge of that horizon line against the glass, and just smear it up with your finger. As if you can sweep it up with your finger. Bring it back to the mirror on your finger. Go try to fit yourself back in the profile that you had drawn on the mirror before, or drawn around your own body before. And looking at this mirror, imagine where, if this mirror was the window, where would that little bit of horizon be? Where would it be in its analogous placement if this mirror was the window? And going in the reverse, put your finger up against the mirror and smudge that horizon line back onto the mirror so that it becomes a part of your own profile.
Tongue in Cheek is voiced and led by Tim Simmons, Aaron Lehman, and Emma McCormick-Goodhart.